Welcome to Simple Living Works, episode 53. I'm Jerry Iverson with my guest, Valerie Weaver Zurcher, editor of the updated World Community Cookbook Series from Herald Press, Minnow Media. If you're new to this podcast, I would like more information about Simple Living Works, please listen clear to the end. If you're a regular, you may want to say goodbye at my cue after the interview. If Valerie's name is familiar to you, it may be because she was my guest in episode number 12, when we talked about the newly released 30th anniversary edition of Living More with Less, the classic by Doris Jansen Longacre. Now we talk about the revised edition of Extending the Table, the 10th anniversary edition of Simply in Season, and the forthcoming 40th anniversary edition of More with Less. These make up the World Community Cookbook series. I personally recommend them because Alternative sold all three of these in their original editions through our internet bookstore. I've put the links to these books in the show notes. The recipes in these books tell the stories of ingredients and landscapes, cultures, and communities. They remind us of people who prepare and share food in the midst of scarcity. And they nourish households with everyday fare and festive cuisine from many cultures. Well, Valerie, it's so good to talk to you again. We talked earlier when Living More with Less was released for its 30th anniversary edition, and now you've released some updated, revised editions of the World Community Cookbook series, and I'm so delighted about that. Now, you're not quite doing these in order, if I get this correctly. The first one that you reissued was Extending the Table. And then after that was Simply in Season. And then next year, you'll be releasing More with Less. All three standard, much-beloved cookbooks.
Yes.
So, tell me a little bit more about the process. You're the editor, but you also have an author and a cookbook editor, recipe editor for each of these books. So tell us a little bit more about the revised edition of Extending the Table. I just have to gush a little bit. It is just a beautiful book. It is full of beautiful colored photographs. And I notice it's not so much about the food. It's about the people.
Mm-hmm.
And
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead.
And so it's really, really well organized. So tell us more about the process. How do you update a classic?
Yes, well, we approach it with a lot of care and attention. We realize that it didn't become a classic for no reason, and so we are very careful to steward the gifts and the richness of the original book. The challenge is, of course, to make a revised cookbook, a classic, kind of accessible and attractive to contemporary cooks while not losing the richness and the goodness of the original book. So Extending the Table is a collection of recipes and stories from around the world, from global Christians who are living their faith in their kitchens and in their families and their communities. So it's really more than a cookbook. It's more than a set of recipes. It's kind of an introduction to the global church, to those who live with less than the typical North American, and really offers lessons for those of us who are used to too much food, too many things, too much busyness, really a lesson for us in living with less and celebrating in ways that are just as joyful, but perhaps simpler and less extravagant than we've been schooled to do in our culture.
Well, it really resonates with me because it fits in so beautifully with one of the five life standards of living more with less, and that is learn from the world community.
That's right. It really kind of takes that life standard, which was so evident in Doris Jansen Longacre's original cookbook, The More with Less Cookbook, and her companion book, Living More with Less. But it kind of takes that standard and expands it into a whole book so that you are really in very, very practical ways, down to ingredients and measurements and particular dishes, learning from the world community in very real ways. So I think it's a really inspiring book. We've added some new recipes. We did a recipe survey in which readers familiar with the cookbook, loyal users of the cookbook, were able to respond and say, you know, this recipe works really well, this one doesn't. So we did do some weeding out of recipes that weren't as that people didn't respond to as well, added some new ones, and then added a lot of new photographs, both of food and of people. We know that photographs tell stories too, and so this revision gave us the opportunity to tell the story of the cookbook in a new way, to actually help cooks experience the recipes and the stories in maybe a fuller, more visual way than when the first, when the book cookbook first came out.
Now, what's also beautiful to me is this cookbook really covers all of the globe except North America. It doesn't cover, and by that I mean the U.S. and Canada, it only covers indigenous people in U.S. and Canada.
That's right. I was going to say there are some recipes from the U.S. and Canada, but they do tend to be from indigenous communities that perhaps have been overlooked in terms of their culinary traditions and certainly just their cultural stories. So there are recipes from Native communities, First Nations people in Canada, from an African American community in the United States. But you won't find a lot of hamburger and apple pie recipes in this cookbook. You'll find recipes from many countries around the world, and like you say, including some from the U.S. and Canada. But it's really an expansion of, for many cooks, it will be an expansion of their repertoire. But I think a lot of the recipes are fairly simple. You won't necessarily need a lot of special ingredients that you don't already have in your kitchen. So it might encourage you to go visit a market or a small store from some ethnic tradition or people that you haven't maybe visited yet in your community. So there might be some opportunities for that. But in general, it uses a lot of fresh ingredients that you have on hand, but maybe just combines them in ways that are new to you as a cook.
I noticed that you have a couple of icons that guide us. For example, you put next to some a V for vegan.
Mm-hmm. For vegetarian. The revised copy of Extending the Table gave us, and the other cookbooks in the series actually, gave us the opportunity to label recipes vegetarian or gluten-free. We did it, I think, in a kind of unobtrusive way, so that if you're not looking for a vegetarian or gluten-free recipe, it won't necessarily stand out to you. But if you eat in one of those ways and you're looking for recipes that fit your approach, we think that the cookbooks will be even more useful to you. Or for example, if you're cooking for someone who must eat gluten-free, this labeling system gives you a way to be hospitable, to think about your guest as you're preparing your food if it's not a way that you're used to cooking.
Now let's move on to Simply in Season. This was the third in this series. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit more about the name and the intent of that cookbook and about the revised version.
Sure. Simply in Season is just a spectacular cookbook for a variety of reasons, including the fact that it was published kind of at the very cusp of the local foods movement. It's a cookbook that celebrates local fresh foods, and so it's organized around the seasons, spring, summer, autumn, and winter. And it came out in a time before local foods cookbooks were popular. We know that's changed by 2015, which is a good thing. There are many more cookbooks available to readers that help them cook in more local, seasonal and sustainable ways. But this was really one of the absolute first, and we were pleased with the foreword to the revised edition of Simply in Season, the 10th anniversary edition of Simply in Season, in which Stephen Hopp, who is married to Barbara Kingsolver and was a co-author of Animal Vegetable Miracle, said that, you know, lots of lots of other local foods cookbooks have come out since this one. What his words are, many excellent cookbooks have come along in support of the local food revolution, but there is still not a better one than this. So we believe that it's just a great contribution to readers who are really trying to live more closely connect in more closely connected ways to their community. So shopping at farmers markets, growing things in their own garden, connecting with neighbors who are growing things. It just provides readers with wonderful recipes that are linked to the seasons. You can kind of work your way through the cookbook in the course of a year. You can, you know, the cookbook kind of falls open to a particular season, and then you're able to kind of stay in that section of the cookbook for the rest of the season. And as you slowly slide into the next one, begin to cook into the next season. So again, we added a lot of photographs to the cookbook and are able to tell the story of local seasonal food in kind of a new way through those photographs.
Yes, I just love the very brief essays in your cookbooks. Let's connect some dots here for folks. Since the U.S. has various zones for growing, and how can you have a seasonal cookbook for the whole U.S.?
It's a good question, and it's one that I think the authors, Kathleen Hochman-Wirt and Mary Beth Lind, dealt with as they were writing the cookbook and then were very involved in the revision process as well. So you're right. Depending where you live in the United States, Canada, or around the world, you might find recipes, for example, in the spring section that don't apply to your growing season or to your climate zone. So obviously, the cookbook moves kind of back and forth between different seasons, and you can kind of plug in at whatever place your particular growing season is at. So I often find myself as a Pennsylvania resident kind of moving, you know, between, for example, summer and fall. I find that there are recipes in the autumn section that, you know, our growing zone, we're already there, while somewhere north of us hasn't reached there yet. So, and there's also an all-season section that has priority on ingredients that are more available year-round. So, it's not an exact science. It doesn't also pretend to propose a lot of answers or solutions, but it really helps readers who are interested in trying to live more sustainably and more seasonally, helps them do that. The authors write in the beginning of the book, they write, "Each food purchase we make is like a vote for the way we want food to be produced and for the world in which we want to live." And I think that really captures what this book is about. It's about what kind of earth do we want to live in? How can what I do in my kitchen, how can that contribute or move me farther away from the world, the kind of world that I want to live in?
Now, I understand that the proceeds from extending the table go to help the Mennonite Central Committee, which is the outreach arm of the Mennonite Church, what you might call the social service arm around the world.
Mm-hmm. Yes, royalties from all the books go to Mennonite Central Committee, which is a worldwide ministry of Anabaptist churches, which would include the Mennonites, and MCC works in development, relief, and peace work around the world. And so we have a wonderful collaborative relationship with MCC. Some of the royalties for the books are helping. We have an agreement in which we are able to put some costs for the revision process toward that. But then after that amount is reached, then the royalties again return to Mennonite Central Committee. So it's been a really wonderful collaboration throughout the years. It continues to be from way back in the 1970s up until today. And I think it really helps people feel good about the cookbooks that they're buying, to know that in a very real way, the purchase that they're making is also contributing to peace work and development and relief work around the world.
You also have a children's cookbook for Simply in Season.
Right. There's a lovely children's version of Simply in Season, which picks out some of the recipes and kind of makes them accessible for children. It's a wonderful gift for children who are interested in being in the kitchen, working with their father or mother as the food is being prepared. It has lovely photographs. It's just much more kind of child-friendly than a traditional cookbook, and is a really great way to involve children in starting to think through these questions of how does what we eat reflect our values and our ethics and our faith and what's important to us. So that's a really, really wonderful kind of companion cookbook to the World Community Cookbook Series.
Now, as an editor at Herald Press, Menno Media, you are working on More with Less cookbook revision for 2016. How is that coming?
Yes. Well, this the More with Less cookbook was, of course, the one that started them all. This is the first one in the World Community Cookbook Series. It came out in 1976, so 2016 is the 40th anniversary year of its publication. You know, this cookbook, we enter the revision process for this cookbook with a lot of fear and trembling. This is kind of the, it's the cookbook for many of us. Many people grew up eating out of More with Less, grew up reading it. There are many people who came to a Mennonite or Anabaptist understanding of faith and joined Mennonite communities around the world because of the More with Less cookbook. So this is one that we feel a lot of, what's the word? You know, you kind of approach some projects with even more care maybe and more awareness that that this book has been such a gift to so many people, and we want to make sure that we steward it well into the 21st century. The More with Less cookbook has been kind of the premier book, not just cookbook, but book for Herald Press, Menno Media. It is nearing a million copies in sales, and again, has just kind of helped to define for generations this kind of particular approach to faith and life that that values the poor, that is mindful of the poor for those of us who have a lot of privilege. It becomes a kind of way of recalibrating our faith and our choices in terms of consumption. And so we've hired a wonderful project manager for this revision project. Rachel Marie Stone is managing this project for us. She's the author of Eat with Joy, which is kind of a theological reflection on food, published by InterVarsity Press several years ago. It won a book award from Christianity Today and just really does a lot of theological work.
Now, Herald Press, Menno Media, Menno, of course, standing for Mennonite, puts out these cookbooks as paperbacks, quality paperbacks, and spiral-bound.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Are they available, or are they going to be available in other media, you know, electronic media?
They are also available as e-books, I think, in a variety of platforms, and I think our plan is to continue release and release More with Less in that format as well. You know, people are increasingly finding their recipes online, and so that's certainly something we've discussed around here is how to stay in the cookbook business when fewer and fewer people are buying cookbooks. And so, yes, they're available as e-books. We don't currently have apps for any of these books. But the stories that are part of these books are so valuable and integral to the mission of the books and to the kind of values and ethics that they carry, that we find that, you know, simply kind of splicing them apart into discrete recipes that people can pull up as on an app or through a website, we worry that that would lose the kind of full-bodied witness of the rest of the book. So, yes, but they are also available as paperback, and their hardcover with a kind of spiral or concealed binding that helps them to lay open flat in a nice way.
Interesting. Well, this is always exciting to talk to you, Valerie. Anything else you'd like to mention about the World Community Cookbook Series? I mean, is there some dreams going on back there at Herald Press that we don't know about yet as far as maybe a fourth part of
That's a good question. We have no plans in the works for a fourth book in the series. I think there have been discussions about that possibility throughout the years. It has been such an important series for us. I can't overstate the importance of this series to Herald Press, not just as products that we sell, but as real carriers of kind of a theological vision and a way of being in the world. And I think... you know, we will continue to think through ways of how we steward these gifts into the 21st century and beyond. No current plans for a fourth book, but yeah, stay tuned.
Well, I'm impressed that Herald Press and Menno Media have a number of ways of reaching out. I know there's a Living More with Less Facebook page, and a variety of ways. There's what the Third Way Cafe. And things like that?
Sure. Thirdway.com is one of our websites that gives information both about kind of Mennonites and Anabaptism more generally, but then also leads readers to our books. We are on social media, a variety of Facebook pages and Twitter accounts that kind of spread news of our books. So, yeah, we're finding, I think, new and new ways to communicate with our readers and to hear from them, and we'll continue to do so in the future.
Anything else you'd like to add before we say goodbye today?
It's just been a real pleasure to speak with you, Jerry, and yeah, appreciate your attention and interest in these cookbooks and in our work more generally. It's always good to know that, readers are finding meaning and help for their daily lives in our books, so thank you.
I hope that we'll talk again next fall when More with Less 40th Anniversary Edition comes out.
That would be wonderful. Yeah, I would enjoy that too. Thank you.
Be well, my friend. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to my conversation with Valerie Weaver-Zercher, editor of the revised editions of the World Community Cookbook Series from Herald Press, Menno Media, including Extending the Table, Simply in Season, and More with Less. You're welcome to share your thoughts on these subjects. Email a message to simplelivingworks@yahoo.com or on our Facebook page or on the Simple Living Works blog. Those addresses are given in the show notes at our website, simplelivingworks.org. Click in window number 3. The classic Advent Christmas resource, Whose Birthday Is It Anyway?, for 2010 was the last edition distributed on paper. Since then, I have published it on the internet. The 2015 edition is scheduled to be on our website in September. When it's ready, I'll announce it in the Simple Living Works weekly blog and the monthly e-news. You're welcome to assemble and copy a version that meets your local needs. All of our resources and services are now free of charge. Whose Birthday is available in multiple formats in 2015 to meet your personal, family, and community needs. First, Whose Birthday number 27 is new, free online collection. Use as much as you need in print or online. Also, contribute your art and articles to Simple Living Works for this new edition. Number 2, a legacy Whose Birthday is scheduled for release as a Simple Living Works podcast series late this fall. It can also be used as text or audio. Its calendar matches the lectionary cycle C. And number 3, do-it-yourself Whose Birthday. Yes, you can produce your own customized DIY Whose Birthday. First of all, create it. Select items most appropriate for your congregation or group, including graphics. Add some of your own original material if you choose. Number 2, produce it. Assemble the items in an attractive way using publishing software, probably already on your computer, for a paper edition or electronic software for internet-based version using PDFs of a paper version or a template for a newsletter version. Number 3, distribute it. Upload it to your website. or hand out copies to your congregation or group at a worship service or meeting or by mail. Make additional copies available to share with friends and relatives. Please do not sell for a profit under Simple Living Works Creative Commons license. And number four, promote it. Tell people where it's available using social media and any other ways available to you, such as a newsletter, worship bulletin, posters, etc. All the links for the following are given in the show notes. So, first of all, to make your selections, visit the Whose Birthday Index by Editions. Also check out the alphabetical index of Advent Christmas alternatives articles taken from Whose Birthday and from our Christmas packs. Choose from appropriate graphics, from Spirit of Simplicity Quotes and Art, and from Worship Alternatives. Then visit our complete thematic seasonal index of Advent Christmas resources. For help with your resource, visit Parts 1 and 2 of Simple Living 101, Tools for Activists, Shy or Bold. I plan to continue issuing podcasts of audio from Whose Birthday. To hear past episodes, visit the index at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. For audio and video resources, visit our AV index. All the links are given in the show notes. Time to wrap up this episode of Simple Living Works. If you haven't already subscribed yet, we hope you will now through iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Remember that you can listen to all episodes of Simple Living Works podcast. They're archived twice. Access them at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. Click Preview, Backup, and choose the episodes you want with or without show notes. Subscription to this podcast and to our weekly blog are free, and they keep you current automatically when we post something new. Urge your friends to do the same. Remember to like us on Facebook. You can also subscribe to my other podcast, The Common Good Podcast, in iTunes. We do not solicit or accept donations, nor do we sell anything. All our resources and services are free of charge. We're an all-volunteer organization. Send us your email address to receive the free monthly Simple Living Works e-news. Thanks to the band Earth Mama and to John Pitney for the music on our show. Find details in the show notes at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3, then click About. This podcast is covered by the Creative Commons Non-Commercial Attribution Share Alike license. To learn more about Creative Commons, click on its link on our website homepage. If you're new to Simple Living Works podcast and would like more basic information about Simple Living Works, please listen a little longer. If you're a regular, you may want to say goodbye here. Peace. We at Simple Living Works believe that simple living really does work. Voluntary simplicity, choosing to live simpler lives, is a faithful, satisfying, effective, comprehensive lifestyle. It's not a list of rules nor living on the cheap. It avoids fads, convenience, and deprivation. It's so much more than a hobby. We believe in abundance, that there's enough for everybody's needs, not anybody's greed. We follow the saying, live simply that others may simply live, as our closing theme song proclaims. Contemporary faith-based simple living is guided by the 5 life standards of Living More with Less, the classic by Doris Jansen Longacre. I've discussed these standards in earlier episodes. The mission of Simple Living Works is to equip people of faith to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly. We extend the mission and resources of the nonprofit organization Alternatives, which served from 1973 to 2011. The 3 parts of our mission are elaborated in text and video. Links are listed in the show notes. We produce a half-hour podcast twice a month, hopefully educational and inspiring for you, your family, and your congregation or group. Until next time, this is Jerry Iverson of Simple Living Works Podcast, wishing you well as we strive to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly. So others can simply live, learn to live simply, so others can live.